Well, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Commercial Service Masters podcast. My name is Nick, and today I'm just going to be doing another free flow solo show here, just talking about sales and marketing in the commercial space. It's my opinion that sales and marketing is probably going to be the biggest differentiator between doing a home service business and a commercial service business. And what I mean by that is the avenues that you use for your marketing and the way that you do your sales is going to be much different than it would in the residential space. And I won't go into too much detail about residential, but I'll just point out like things such as marketing on Facebook, social media, direct marketing like EDDM, every door direct marketing, where you're sending a postcard to people's homes and stuff like that. That works really well in residential because you're able to get your message out to the end users, the decision makers, typically your homeowners, a lot faster and a lot more efficiently than like going out and doing door-to-door sales. So that kind of marketing works really, really well in residential, but it doesn't work so much in commercial because it's really hard to get like a flyer to the person that you actually want it to go to by just sending it to an address. Because if you're not directly mentioning a certain person's name or title or something like that, generally mail that comes in goes through like the front desk, the security guard. It might get handed off to an assistant manager or something like that, and then it's probably getting tossed in the trash. People just in the commercial space aren't looking for that kind of stuff, so it's a lot harder to get those into the right hands. So I don't recommend doing that. And then things like social media, I mean, if you can imagine, like a property manager probably isn't going on Facebook looking for services for their building. They might be on there just to kill time, look at funny cat videos and stuff like that, but they're not necessarily looking for services or a vendor using those platforms. The one exception to that might be LinkedIn, but even that we haven't had a lot of experience with, or not a lot of experience, I'm sorry, we haven't had a lot of luck with. We put a little bit of effort into it. We were doing blog posts and informational videos and stuff like that, and we got a little bit of traction on people like wanting to network with us, but it didn't necessarily drive any revenue for us or get us any sales. So we have kind of slowed down our focus there, and we're focused more on the ones that do work. So for marketing, we're talking about getting leads into our business, right? So for marketing, we just focus on SEO, search engine optimization, and Google Ads. And that seems to be the best use of our money as far as marketing goes, because people do go on Google and look for, you know, for us it's window cleaning. The property manager might be sitting at their desk going, oh, I need a window cleaner, I need a plumber or something, and they just hop on Google real quick and look up plumbers or, you know, handyman or whatever in your area. And so that works well to get a lot of people, but you can't really target focus that. So just set it up and let it run its thing. Spend a little bit of money making sure your website's looking good. Make sure you have somebody dealing with your SEO. We outsource it because that's frankly just something I don't want to learn because it's extremely complicated from what I've heard. So I let somebody else do it. They do a good job and we get a lot of leads coming in from that. But then to go from lead to a sale is obviously another story. So when you get leads through marketing, obviously the process is a lot simpler because they're already warm. They're already looking for a price. So it really goes from them reaching out to you saying, we want a price. You just reach out to them, build a little rapport, get friendly with them, and just, you know, set up a time to do a bid. And then you can get into the follow-up process and all that, which I'll get into here in a little bit. But sales, on the other hand, is the most effective way that we have found to actually convert leads to work. It's the slowest because we're talking boots on the ground, walking into building after building after building and going and talking to people. But it's a lot more effective. So it's not efficient, but it's effective. So you might get to maybe 10 buildings in a day because it takes a little bit of time, especially bigger buildings. You got to walk down a block or two just to get into the next one. You got to get to the person in charge, make your introduction and that sort of thing. So you're going to get to less people, but it's going to be more effective in the long run. And we focus most of our efforts and money there as far as sales and marketing goes, or that budget. And we have a full-time salesperson who does all that for us, and he does a great job. So when it comes to the sales process and the cycle, some important things to keep in mind are, in the commercial world, the process takes a lot longer than in residential, where in residential you might go in and sell them on the spot, you know, have a little packet, a little presentation, and you're going to be showing them who you are, what you do, and why you're better than the next guy, and you're going to be trying to get them to buy on the spot or within the next few days or weeks maybe, but generally you're doing it a lot faster. In the commercial service realm, we sometimes the sales process takes like 2 years or more, because generally these people have a contract with another vendor and they're waiting for that contract to expire, and then they go up to bid, and then you can get involved. But you just have to stay in touch with them for a while. So just keep that in mind, that it's not going to be immediate gratification for the most part. You're not going to be able to sell somebody on the spot or even get them to let you do a bid on the spot. It can happen. But don't expect it. Expect it to take a while. Just be patient, trust the process, and you'll do fine. So for me, when it comes to sales, I think everybody's going to have a little bit different of a way that they do things. And I think it just kind of depends on your personality. So I'm going to give you my experience and what I have found works for me and my personality, which I hate doing sales. I really don't like walking into buildings and trying to talk to people. It's just not something I'm comfortable with, and frankly, I wasn't very good at it at first, but I found some things that made it a lot easier for me. I'm generally shy, so my personality isn't the strong A-type personality that's going to go in and you know, be a bullshitting with people right off the bat, stuff like that. So for me, these techniques have worked really well for me, but other people might have different ways of doing it. Like, I know my sales guy here, Christian, he is 10 times better than I ever was, and he's got a different technique that he uses that works very well for him and his personality. So I'll try to have him on a show at a later date, and I'll talk a little bit about what he does and how he does it, but for the most part, I'll just speak to my experience and what's worked for me. So first and foremost, when you're doing sales, you got to get to the person in charge, and generally the person in charge of whatever service, you know, the decision maker, is going to be, they're not going to be sitting down in the lobby, right? They generally have an office. Like, if we're talking a high-rise building, they're going to have an office up on the fifth floor or 10th floor or whatever, and there's going to be a gatekeeper that you have to get past to be able to talk to them. Generally, you're not allowed to just walk into these buildings and go up to the elevator and go straight up and go talk to whoever you want. Sometimes you can, but a lot of them are higher security, and they won't let you up unless you have an appointment. Or at least talk to them first. So the way to get past those gatekeepers, again, this is where the technique really comes in play, where it depends on your personality. When I first started doing sales, what I would do is walk into a building and say, you know, hey, to the security guard, I would say, hey, my name is so-and-so, I'm with such and such company, we offer these services, can you point me to the person in charge of that? And I found that there was a lot of defense coming from it, where you're either asking them to point you to the right person or telling them who you're going to go see. And then they immediately kind of put up this guard, like, oh, wait a minute, do you have an appointment? Do they know you're coming? Are they expecting you? What are you trying to sell? That sort of thing. And they get defensive. So what I found works really well for me is to go in, and instead of telling them who I want to go see, I'll go in and introduce myself to them, maybe bullshit for a second, kind of, you know, build a little rapport with them. And then say, you know, my name's so-and-so, I'm with such and such company. And I was wondering, could you help me figure out who's in charge of window cleaning for your building? See, it's just that little difference. It's like this reverse psychology thing where they go from defense mode when you're telling them what to do, like telling them, hey, point me towards such and such, and then they get defensive. And now you're asking them for their help. And people like to help people. It gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling inside when you get to, you know, like, yeah, I know who's in charge. I can point you in the right direction. I got this. And so it's worked very well for me. Maybe 1 out of 100 are going to tell me to go kick rocks or something. But generally they're going to say, oh yeah, that's so-and-so. They're in such and such office. Do you want to go up there right now? And it works very well. Versus like Christian, he goes in with a little more confidence because he has more of a sales background and he's more of a salesman than I am. And he goes in with just the confidence of, hey, I'm here to see so-and-so. And he usually does his research ahead of time. He knows what office they're in and whatnot. And he'll be like, hey, I'm here to see the engineer. I need to talk to him about giving him a bid for Winnipeg. And so he goes in with that confidence. And then it sounds like they have an appointment, even if he doesn't. And they're generally like, oh, okay, yeah, go ahead, go on back. That doesn't work well for me. Works great for him. He ends up actually getting a lot of bids on the spot. He'll go talk to people and say, you know, I'm here right now. Do you mind if I just go up to the roof and take a look? And he does a really good job with it. But again, it depends on your personality. So for me, that never really worked really well. So I'm going to go back to what I do. So again, you get past that gatekeeper, ask for their help. Don't tell them what to do and tell them, you know, who you're looking for. Ask for their help figuring it out. And then once they help you, then they'll be more inclined to let you go up and talk to them. So you get past the gatekeeper. Now you're going up to meet, let's call it the facilities manager. You go into their office, always knock, you know, be polite. Don't just barge in. A lot of times there will be another like receptionist at the front desk or something, and you just introduce yourself, smile, be friendly, and say, you know, is so-and-so here? Does she have a minute to talk, or he? And usually they'll say, yeah, hold on one sec. They'll go ask. Generally, the person will come out and say, you know, who are you? What are you doing here? So what you want to do at this point is you're just making an introduction. You're not trying to sell them anything on the spot because they're busy people. You don't want to waste their time. You don't want to bother them, especially if you don't have an appointment. You don't want to go in and start pitching your services. So all you're going to do is go offer a little bit about yourself, like a really, really brief, you know, not even elevator pitch long, like shorter than that. Hi, my name's Nick. I'm with such and such company. We do such and such. And then you're going to ask if you can be a part of their process, if you can participate in their bidding process next time they go up for bid for the services that you're offering. So generally, these companies that have property managers, facility managers, things like that, they work for a different owner, and they are required to go up to bid on services so that they can compare pricing on a regular basis. We have found in our industry out here, it's generally 1 to 3 years that you're making contracts with people, mostly on the 1 year mark. So they typically go up to bid every year. And when they do that, they're required by their ownership to get multiple prices in so that they can compare. Doesn't mean they'll always go with the lowest price or the highest price or whatever. And if they have somebody they like, even if your price is better than theirs, they might just keep that person. But that's a good thing because that means that they're going to do the same thing for you if you do get a chance to be, you know, to participate and win the job. And then you can keep those people for a long period of time, even knowing that they're going up to bid every year. So we've had accounts for 60 plus years that my grandfather got when he first started the company, and they still go up to bid every few years, but we get it every time because they like us and they trust us, and we do a good job for them. So it goes back to, you know, you want to build a relationship with these people, not just do transactional business. So you're not looking to just get in, get their money and get out, because then the next year you have to go find new business to replace that, especially if you did a shitty job and they're looking to replace you anyways. So what you're doing now is you're trying to build a relationship with these people and get that long-term business, that repeat business, so that it's a lot easier to keep money flowing, right? So anyways, you go in. After you get past the gatekeeper, you're going to make an introduction to the person, and all you're going to do is ask them again. Don't tell them. Ask them if you can participate in their bidding process next time they go up to bid. They'll either say yes or no. That's really all there is to it. They'll either say, oh, we have somebody that we like. You know, we're not interested. Great. Now what you're going to do is just get their information, hopefully, and just say, hey, you know, that's great. I'm happy to hear that you have somebody that you're happy with. Would you mind if I just get your information just so I can check in, you know, down the road and see if there's anything we could do for you? And they may or may not give you their card, but it's, you know, you always want to ask for it. Or the answer will be, yeah, sure, of course you can be a part of the process. Let me get your information. And then they'll put you on their vendor list so that when they do go up to bid, they'll reach out to you, hopefully, and give you a chance to come in and give a bid. So two things typically happen in my experience. They'll either say that they have a bid time, like a set time that they do their bids throughout the year. So they might say, oh yeah, we're taking all our bids in, you know, September to make a decision by the first of the year. So again, you know, this goes back to the sales processes take a long time to to get through. So you just got to be patient, and it's a numbers game. You just get more and more and more people lined up to be able to go and give them bids, so that when the time does come, you're there. So they'll either say, yeah, we have, you know, we're doing our bids in September, whatever, and then you just make note to follow up with them. Typically, I do it a couple months beforehand. So if they're going up to bid, let's say in December, I would probably reach out in October or November, just to remind them who we are and that we want to be a part of the process, and just kind of saying hello and checking in, so that when they do go up to bid, you're kind of on their mind and they remember to actually send you the RFP, the request for proposal or request for quote, RFQ. So they'll either tell you that time frame, or they'll say, yeah, sure, you know, we'd love a bid. In which case, if they don't give you a specific time that you should be reaching out to them, now you have the opportunity to try and get it in ASAP. And again, you don't want to do it on the spot, unless you have the personality for it and you're comfortable doing that. And you kind of read the vibe, and it's like, if you're not wasting their time, if they feel like, you know, if you're building a little rapport, if you guys are getting along real well, you just kind of figure it out like while you're going. But you can either say, you know, I'm here right now, would you mind if I go and take a look at the roof? Generally, like I said, I don't do that. So what I'll do is just take their information and then start a follow-up process with them, where I'm reaching out saying, you know, when could we schedule a time to get the bid? So a little trick that I learned is, once you get their card and their info, and you leave the building, immediately send them an email thanking them for their time. Don't wait until you get back to the office. Like, do it as soon as you get back in your car or before you walk to the next building. And it just makes you stand out that little bit more if you just send them an email right away that says, hey, so-and-so, thank you so much for taking the time to see me a minute ago. I appreciate it. It was great meeting you, and I look forward to possibly working with you in the future. And then, so again, that just makes you stand out a little bit, because most people, most business people kind of suck. So a lot of your competition is not even going to follow up with them at all until they're reaching out to say, hey, can we come give you a price? So start building that rapport right away by just sending them that little thank you. And that'll make you stand out a whole lot more from everybody else who doesn't do that. So just another little Jedi mind trick for you. Send them that thank you right away. And then you're going to go into, like, maybe you get back to the office and set a callback reminder in whatever CRM you use to reach out to them maybe the next day or a couple days later. And again, just thank them for their time. Say it was good meeting them. And now you're going to ask, you know, when could we schedule a time to do the bid? So you might say something like, you know, hey, so-and-so, thank you again for meeting me the other day. I'm looking forward to giving you a price and possibly working with you. When do you think we could schedule a time for us to come out and give you a price to take a look at the building? You know, for us, it's going and looking at the roof and looking at the windows. It might be going to look at your landscaping, whatever it is, whatever service you're offering. You want to schedule a time to give them a price, and then you just go from there. Once you schedule that appointment, obviously show up, be early. I can't tell you how many property managers tell us about they have appointments with other companies to do a bid and they just never show up. So don't be that guy or that girl. Like, make sure you actually show up to your appointments and be early, look professional. We wear polos. I'm just dressed in my t-shirt today, but I would not wear this out to go do sales. I would wear a button-up collared shirt, maybe just jeans and boots or something, you know, look professional. Kind of stand out, have something that you're holding, taking notes. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant, it just makes people feel better if they're actually writing down your order. You know what I mean? So if you go on these bids and you're just walking around with your hands in your pocket, these people may get this weird vibe that, like, they're not taking any notes. Do they even really know what they're doing? I don't know. I can't speak to what's going on inside their head, but in my opinion, I think it just makes you look more professional and makes you stand out. If you have something you're taking notes on, take pictures of things so they see that you're being thorough. They're like, okay, this guy actually knows what he's doing. So anyways, take that time when you're on the bid to start building rapport. This is where the sales part of the sales process really starts. Again, you're not building a lot of rapport when you're making that initial introduction, because you don't want to waste their time. So you're getting in and getting out real quick. And then you build a little bit of rapport through the emails. But again, not too much. You don't want to send them, you know, five paragraphs that they're going to have to read, because people don't want to do that. So you're, where it really starts, where you really start building rapport and building a relationship with these people is when you go to do the bid. Now you get to sell yourself on why you're better. You get to point out all the things on the building that need attention so you can show off your knowledge and your wisdom and just look good in front of them. You know, bullshit with the engineer if they're the one showing you around. Get them to like you. Get them to kind of have your back when it comes time to actually make that decision. So that they'll be pushing for you as well. So just start building rapport there. Whatever that means to you, that's the time to start. Then what happens in the commercial space for us, we generally take all that information back to the office, put together a proposal, and email it to them. So we don't do packets. We don't do paper proposals where we deliver it, hand deliver it to the office. If you have the time and the energy to do that, it's great. It might work. Keep in mind, you'll want to make an appointment to show them because, again, you want to respect their time. Don't just barge into their office, you know, a few days later and say, hey, here's your proposal. Let me show you about the pricing. If they're not expecting you, they might not like that. So make an appointment if you are going to go in and do an in-person presentation. But otherwise, what we do, because we're working on, again, a numbers game, you know, we're doing so many proposals, it would be impossible for us to go and do a presentation for every single one of them. So we just email them out, and then we start our follow-up campaign. So what that looks like for us is we'll send the proposal, and then 2 days later, if they haven't responded, and again, all of these follow-ups that we're going to do are going to kind of change if they respond. You kind of gauge what you're going to do next based on the last email. So don't take this stuff as literal. But what I'll do, if they don't respond back after you send the bid, then 2 days later, we'll send out an email. And we actually have it automated through our CRM. So it'll send an email automatically to the same email that we sent the proposal to. And all it says is, hey, so-and-so, just checking in. Wanted to make sure you got that proposal. Do you have any questions or is there anything else I can do for you at this time? That's all you're doing. You're not trying to sell them. You're not trying to get them to close. You're not trying to, you know, bug them or put too much information in it or sell yourselves even more. All you're doing is checking in and making sure that they got the proposal and giving them an opportunity to not only remind them that you sent it, but you're giving them an opportunity to ask for more or ask for help or ask questions, anything like that. So again, 2 days after you send the proposal, send a reminder email just saying, you know, what I just said. And then if they don't respond again, then what we'll do is 1 week later, we'll send another email that says the exact same thing. I mean, not exactly, but it says the same thing. Just, hey, just checking in again. Wanted to make sure you got that proposal and see if you had any questions. You know, we're here if you need you, if you need us. And then if they don't respond, and keep in mind, these people are busy, so they may not respond. We had a big job that we did. Our sales process took a year and a half to finally close the deal. And I probably sent 20 or 30 emails that just never got responded to. And then finally they would get back to me and say, oh, hey, so sorry. Thanks for keeping in touch. I've just been busy, had other projects going on. So don't take it personal when they don't get back to you. A lot of times these people are just busy because they have a lot of different vendors that they're dealing with. You're not the only thing on their plate. So keep that in mind. Stick with the process, trust it. It'll work out in the end. Okay, so 2 days after you send the proposal, send a reminder. 1 week after that, send another reminder, just asking if they have any questions. Another week after that, generally they're going to respond by then and say, yes, thank you, we have everything we need. So then you'll tailor your next message accordingly. But if they haven't responded again, 1 week later again, hey, so-and-so, just checking in again. I sent a couple of emails, just wanted to make sure that you got those. Or you can do a phone call. The phone call works real well, because you can actually get on the phone and kind of gauge their voice. And, you know, they might have seen your price and just go, oh, no, it's way too high or something like that. And they just don't want to get back to you because a lot of people just won't. There's not a lot of common courtesy in the professional world, I have found. So a lot of times people just won't get back to you if they don't like your price. So getting on the phone with them makes it tougher for them to just hang up on you, right? They're not just going to hang up and say, well, if they did, then you would know that they don't like you. So then you can move on with your life. But generally, it makes it easier to actually get an answer from them if you can call them. But if you're going to stick with the emails, go 1 week later again and just kind of put a little more information based, you know, saying like, hey, I've reached out a couple of times. I'm not sure if you're getting my emails. Just want to check in. Don't want to bug you, but just making sure you got it. You know, again, 1 week later. And then 1 week after that, Again, same thing. Just checking in. Wanted to see how you're doing. You know, maybe you can, if you've been building rapport with these people, maybe you can say something funny. You know, you can do these in all your emails. You don't have to say exactly what I'm saying. But the process for us is 2 days, 1 week, 1 week, 1 week. And then we go up to 2 weeks and 2 weeks and then monthly. So you want to stay top of mind. So don't ever get to a point where you're waiting 3, 4, 5, 6 months to reach out to somebody, because within that time period, they could have just forgotten all about you and hired somebody else. So you want to stay top of mind, but you also don't want to bug them. So, you know, everybody gets these spam emails that we get every single day from the same company, and they work to a point, but more so I think they just bother people. That's why the term spam is out there, right? Like, we don't like getting these advertisements all the time and getting people to reach out to us every single day asking to buy stuff. So don't be like that. Find what works best for you. This is just what we've used. Like I said, 2 days, 1 week, 1 week, 1 week, and then 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and then monthly. So it happens over a long period of time. Generally, we're not going to get through that entire cycle before somebody gets back to us, but sometimes we do. Generally, what's going to happen is after the first email you send, they're going to reach back out and say, yes, thank you so much. We got it. We'll be looking at these at such and such date. Then you're going to tailor your message accordingly, because you're not going to reach out to them in another week if they said that they're not going to be looking at the proposals and making a decision for 3 months. Right? So you have to gauge where you're going with this based on what they're telling you. Use the information. Just be smart. It's common sense. So again, if they tell you that they're going to be looking at it in a few months, then what you do is you set a reminder on your calendar for maybe a couple of weeks before the deadline that she gave you. And you set your reminder to send an email out or send a phone call out at that time, just to remind them who you are. So that when they do pick up their stack of papers, they will know who you are. So it's that simple, and you just keep going from there. Again, if they don't respond, stick to the schedule. If they do respond, tailor your messages accordingly. There's a million different things that could happen in the meantime, so I'm not going to try and go into every single one of them. Just be smart. Then what happens is you'll either get a yes or a no answer, right? So they'll either say, yep, we like your price. We'd like you to come in and do paperwork, or maybe they just send you a contract in the email, and then you start scheduling the work. That's the best case scenario. That's good stuff. If they say no, then always try to get an answer as why. They might, because it gives you good feedback for when you're bidding in the future, whether it's on that property or others. They might say your price was way too high. They might say you took too long to get it to us. They might give you some feedback just based on who they may have said, oh, I didn't like that you were wearing flip-flops when you came and did the bid. It looked unprofessional. So, okay, I won't wear flip-flops anymore. Whatever it is, just use that feedback to optimize your next round of sales. So after you ask them why, a lot of them won't respond. Again, don't take it personal. Tell them, thank you so much for your time. Do you mind if I ask why we didn't get this? Or do you mind if I ask where we fell short or what the deciding factor was? And a lot of times they'll be happy to tell you, oh, it was based on price, or oh, it was, your insurance requirements didn't meet, or we just went with this other vendor because they were referred to us, or whatever it is. Generally, they'll be happy to give you that info. A lot of times they won't. They'll just ignore your question altogether. I've never had somebody reach out and say, I actually can't tell you why. So I don't think that's going to happen a lot, but it might. Just be aware of it. And then after you get a little bit of feedback, always say that you're happy for them, that they chose somebody, and you hope that they take good care of them. Or at least this is what we do. We say, oh, so happy. I hope they do a good job for you guys. If there's anything that we can do in the meantime, please don't ever hesitate to reach out. Even if you just want to use us as a backup in case they're busy and can't get to you, or if they screw up. I mean, don't say screw up, but kind of put yourself out there and say, we're happy to be your backup plan just in case. So please keep us in mind. And then that opens up the door for you to continue staying in touch with these people. And it doesn't look weird when you reach out 3 months later and just say, hey, what's going on? Because you're kind of giving them that warning ahead of time that, like, hey, we're still here for you if you need us. We're all in this together. So again, ask why, offer to be their backup, and then also ask to be included next time. So, again, offering to be their backup and then kind of leading into within that same conversation saying, when you go up to bid next time, can we participate and try again? And generally, they're going to say yes, of course, unless they just really hated you. So just again, just kind of putting the preface out there that we do want to continue trying to win your business, so that you can follow up with them next year and just put a reminder on your calendar and your CRM, whatever, to follow up with them a few months, a couple months before their bid process starts again. and that's pretty much it. So the other thing that could happen besides a yes or a no is kind of that in-betweener where they're going to say, ooh, we really like you, but your price was a little too high. Is there anything you can do to work with us? And that's going to be a judgment call on your guys' part. What I have found is generally when somebody asks us to lower our price, we have a lot of issues moving forward. I've never lowered my price for somebody and had it be my favorite customer in the world. A lot of times these people that are going just off of price, they tend to be really picky about things. Not always, not making a general statement here, but I have found that whenever we lower our price for somebody, it ends up biting us in the ass. So I don't recommend lowering your prices if you're confident in what you've bid on. Now, if you have the extra margin and you're able to just cut it and you're still confident that you can make money on it, then by all means. Again, that's going to be a judgment call based on your own business and what you know. But that's pretty obvious, right? So that's pretty much it. That's really it for me, guys. I hope that was helpful. I'll just kind of briefly summarize again. For the sales cycle, you got to get past the gatekeeper. You got to make an introduction and just ask to participate in their process. And then you got to follow up until they give you the chance to give them a bid, show up, look professional, give them a good price. Again, we email them and then build rapport while you're there, and then go back into your follow-up system again, which, like I said, 2 days, 1 week, 1 week, 1 week, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, monthly. And then just wait for that yes or no. You never stop your follow-up process until you get an answer. Even if they're not responding to you, keep sending them emails until they reach out and say, hey, quit bugging me, leave me the hell alone, get the hell out of here. Then you can stop. and that's it. So if you guys have any questions, want any more clarification on that, please put some comments down below. Let me know what you want to learn. Like I said, there's different techniques for this. I'll try to get Christian on a podcast at some point to talk about how he does it. Like I said, he's a much better salesperson than I am. So I'm just speaking to what has worked for me, and what he does is what works for him. So I would love to get him on. And if any of you guys have some tricks and tips and you want to be on the show, I would love to have you. Just like I said, shoot me a message and let me know what you want to learn or if you want to be on the show. And yeah, love you guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later.